That was Morning Rundle by David Acapinti from his most recent recording, Camera. And I'm very pleased to have David here in the Artsabled studio joining me this afternoon. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy.
It's wonderful music, of course. I'm a huge fan of all of your music going back, well, probably a decade and a half now, I guess. But
yeah, I remember when we first met.
I remember when we first met, too, out front of Mazzetta.
Yeah,
exactly.
That
was very nice. Could you tell us a little bit about this recent recording?
Sure. It has a... It's a mixture of things. It's a mixture of chamber music.
Yeah.
With a lot of classical musicians are on the CD, people who play in the TSO. And actually a student who went here, Lynn Homsey, is on the CD. She plays violin on it. She does great, great work. And I improvise with her a little bit. So there's some improvisation as well. And also Andrew Downing does some improv with me as well. So
neat.
It's nice to combine those different elements, you know, have some writing, which I love to do.
Yep.
And some improvising, which I also love to do.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All of your CDs, I think, are your own compositions, right, that you've done thus far?
I think so, yeah. Just the duo ones with Mike Murley, we've done a few standards.
That's
but,
right.
But aside from those, all the ones where I'm the leader have all been all original. Yeah, that's
right.
True.
But is this a departure somewhat in terms of maybe getting into classical or Western art music or chamber sorts of musical sounds?
Yeah. I think it's always been there. It's
right.
Just I didn't use this instrumentation that kind of like puts an emphasis on it.
Right.
Because, you know, most of my groups had drums and bass and saxophone sometimes and piano on the first one.
Right.
And this one has bassoon, clarinet,
right.
Violin, viola, cello, bass, and marimba.
Wow.
Which is prominently featured.
Right.
Great Beverly Johnson plays the marimba on the CD.
Wow, sounds like a very ambitious project.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. I mean, I spent about 4 years composing the music.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And I started with the string stuff. There's some stuff for guitar and string quartet. There's a suite.
Right.
And then I had some experiences with string quartets, which can be very interesting, very enlightening, in that it has such a strong history.
Right.
That I thought I'd come up with an instrumentation that was somewhat unique. I don't know if it's completely unique,
right.
But I've certainly never found anything for this exact instrumentation.
Okay.
It's probably out there, but
right.
But it's still rarely used, let's say, and doesn't, you know, I know Mozart didn't write for this instrumentation,
right,
but
sure.
He certainly wrote string quartets.
Right.
So I, you know, it kind of liberated me a little bit to have that other instrumentation.
Right. Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. And is some of this, I know that you spent some time at Banff, for example.
Yeah.
Did some of the music that we're hearing today come out of that experience?
Yeah, I did. I've done a couple of residencies there where I just sit in the hut in
right.
the woods. For anyone who's been there knows that they have these beautiful huts and they're in the Rocky Mountains and you're basically in a forest and you have a grand piano in your hut. And
wow. Wow.
And internet.
Right.
But I did a lot of composing of the stuff there. There's a suite on the CD. It's called the Banff Suite.
Yeah.
It's dedicated to all the beauty in that area.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I also know that you have a family and
mm-hmm.
you're also an appreciator of literature and art and
yeah.
lots of extra musical things. I mean, can you
yeah.
maybe talk about how some of those things have influenced
sure.
you?
Sure. My daughter, Sophia, you know, she's such a joy and
yeah.
such a creative force and I love being around her, and I learn lots from her every day. And,
right.
And it's just such a joy, as you know, being a parent.
Yeah.
And I think it's the greatest joy. You know, everything else becomes secondary after that.
Yeah.
And I just love being with her. And my wife is a visual artist.
Right.
So that's really interesting to be around. She always has her own take on things. She knows a lot about cinema.
Well.
And I learn lots from her as well.
Right. And did she do the cover and
she did the cover, yeah.
And the design.
She's done
work.
All my covers.
Yeah, I thought so.
Even the ones with Mike Murley, she even designed those.
Oh, wonderful. So, I obviously know you, but can you talk a little bit about maybe your history and growing up in Toronto and our shared love of the Beatles and all of those sorts of things?
Well, Andy, it all started on a cold December night.
Right.
And Dad said to me, no, I won't go that far.
Right.
I mean, it did start with the love of the Beatles. I mean, I remember getting Abbey Road when I was five for my
right.
fifth birthday. And I just loved that music, and it really spoke to me. And, you know, my parents separated early on, so I think music was kind of a way of escaping.
Okay.
So I think that has something to do with my love for music. It was a beautiful way to escape all the madness that was going on around.
Right.
And I started with piano, and then I switched to guitar, mainly because most of the Beatles music was on guitar.
Right.
And
this is all in Toronto, right?
In Toronto, yeah. I started playing guitar when I was about 12 or 13.
Okay. Yeah.
And started composing soon after that. And
right.
Discovering lots of jazz.
So writing sort of ersatz Beatles tune, like, sort of pseudo-Beatles tunes early on? Or
not so much. No, I think I started writing when I was already getting into instrumental music.
Okay.
When I got into, like, people like Jeff Beck and Pat Metheny, I think my early stuff was probably Metheny-esque.
Right. Okay.
You know, Weather Report-esque.
Right, sure.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
And this is through high school, I guess.
High school, yeah. I've jumped ahead.
Yeah, no, that's okay. No, please. Were you already kind of working professionally in high school, or did that happen sort of post-high school?
Post-high school, I went to Humber.
Yeah.
And then I think I started working a little bit. I was 17 when I started. I felt so young. And it was a great honor to get in. I was just so thrilled. I didn't know if I was going to get into music if I didn't get in.
Right.
It was such a big stepping stone. So I was glad I got in, and I met a lot of great people when I was going here.
Sure.
You know, Greg Wells, who was here a couple of weeks ago. I met him when we were here at the same time. And lots of folks. Andy Ballantyne was here.
Okay.
And Steve Lucas. And, you know, the list goes on and on.
Right.
I met a lot of great people here.
And you studied
with Dave Restivo, who I just had lunch with.
Yeah. And you studied with Peter Harris, I guess, did
Peter Harris, yeah. And I studied with another guitar player, Pat Coleman, who was living in town.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He lives in Nanaimo now.
That's right, yeah.
I was studying with him outside of the school. And Ron Collier was a big influence on me.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
He was teaching here, and Pat LaBarbera was here.
Of course, sure.
And I learned lots from those people.
Okay. And then since that time, I know you've then have established yourself as a very busy working professional, but your education, I know, hasn't stopped. I mean, you've gone on to York, and do you want to talk about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I just did the master's thing, but after Humber, I guess I went to New York.
Jim Hall, is that right?
Jim Hall was probably the biggest influence in my life, I guess.
Sorry for skipping that. Yeah.
No, it's totally fine. He was just, I always think of the CD camera as a takeoff on what he started with textures and by arrangement, those two CDs, which are very important CDs, I think, in his catalog. And he's a beautiful composer, and those elements really come to life on those CDs. There's chamber music mixed with improv. You know?
Right.
Although when I finished Camera and I put on Textures, I said, this sounds nothing like I thought I was making Textures part two, but I really didn't. I was nowhere close. And, you know, his music is so full of the blues, and the writing is so loose and free, and his playing is so loose and free. You know, I hope to get there someday.
Well, that's nice to keep aspiring to that. Yeah, he's a wonderful player. And I guess what I hear, I mean, in terms of similarities, as I was mentioning to you just before we started recording, I've always loved the kind of, you play an electric guitar, but you always have such an acoustic quality to that. It's very organic.
Thanks. I take great care when I'm recording to make sure there's a mic actually on the guitar, not just on the amplifier. And I know Lewin, who's a student here, he was just recording some stuff, and I noticed he used a lot of mic on his guitar, too. So I think it's the tradition is continuing. And you hear it in the Jim Hall records. That the guitar is mic'd as well. So that helps add the acoustic sound to it.
Yeah, and I also think, I do the same thing when most of the time I do the same thing when I record, too. And I feel like it gets closer to the way, I'm not sure about you, but the way that I practice at home, because generally at home I don't practice with an amplifier. I walk around, and so I feel kind of, I have a connection with the music from that perspective.
So that's the way we hear it.
Yeah.
You know, we hear it kind of with the plectrum on the strings,
exactly.
Or the fingers on the strings, and there's a certain attack that we don't get when you just put a mic on the amplifier.
Yeah, I agree for sure. Well, we had just listened to Morning Rundle from the Banff Suite by David Acapinti from his recording Camera. And now also from the same Banff Suite, we're going to hear Summit. Can you set that one up for us, please?
Sure. Banff Suite is for the larger ensemble with clarinet and bassoon and the strings and the marimba. And the Summit is just a pared-down version. Now it's just guitar, marimba, and bass. And Beverly Johnson, who plays Merv, and she did such a lovely job. She really took a liking to this song, Summit, and she recorded a solo version for her upcoming CD.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So here's Summit.
That was Summit by David Acapinti from his recording from 2012 entitled Camera. And again, David is my guest today on Arts Abled. David, you mentioned Humber College in terms of being a student here, but of course you're a very esteemed faculty member here. I know you teach guitar and composition, but can you talk a little bit about your role?
Yeah, I teach guitar, mainly private lessons.
Yeah.
And sometimes... some of the guitar students are interested in composition, so sometimes our lessons go in that direction, and yeah. I do that. But also other instrumentalists, it seems, over the last 4 or 5 years have been asking for me as a teacher just to teach them composition. So I get saxophone. Jeff LaRochelle is a great writer and player who went here, and there's a few others who I can't think of right now.
That's okay, yeah.
But other instrumentalists... Who have asked for me, and I like to teach composition as well because it breaks things up, you know. Yeah, like I'm not talking about the names of the strings or
sure.
Not the names of the strings, but the yeah. notes and the arpeggios and, you know, things like that that I've done quite a bit of, and it's nice to break it up for me. So I like doing both, you know, talking about the guitar, talking about composition, because in my real life,
right,
I like to do both.
Sure.
I like to compose and also play guitar. And I also have an ensemble, so I teach ensemble here, and it's a guitar-based ensemble. So there's four guitars, usually bass and drums.
Right. And I've actually heard it a couple of times, and mm-hmm. it's a terrific band, and they I think, often do some of your compositions as well.
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing a couple this semester, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's neat. So you mentioned Pat Coleman, you mentioned Peter Harris, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned Ron Collar, you mentioned Jim Hall. What about from the composition side of things? Who are some influences or people that you've taken things from, or you take inspiration from?
You know, for composition, I wish I had a long list of people to tell you. In a way, Jim Hall was... We touched on composition,
okay.
and we touched on improvising in a compositional way, which, as you know, he does
sure.
very well, and that was great. But as far as composition goes, I mainly learned by going to the library,
right.
and if there are any students listening to your radio show here, I strongly encourage them
right.
to do the same, to take things in your own hands sometimes, to yeah. not rely so much on a teacher all the time, to go to the library where there are scores and recordings, and you can... listen to, you know, so much, and there's so much online now.
Like, right.
I can give a couple of websites that are legal. IMSLP.org is a place you can get public domain scores.
Right.
IMSLP.org. And the Naxos site is great for listening to recordings,
yeah.
And it's all legal, and
yeah.
I encourage students to do that. So for me, learning was, in fact, I went to the U of T library today and took out a couple of scores, Stravinsky scores, and I'm just checking out and seeing what I can take from.
And by checking out, like, voicings or...
Yeah, sometimes a voicing, sometimes the way he orchestrated something.
Sure.
He's a wonderful orchestrator.
Yeah.
So all of the above.
Yeah,
and
okay.
just, I love his music, so
yeah.
I'm always trying to learn as much as I can from a composer like that.
And you're right about Jim Hall being, obviously, well, such a wonderful composer and a wonderful player, and how those two streams seem to inform one another.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I took some lessons with Gene Bertoncini years ago, and he often said that improvisation was like liquid composition, and you know, and composition was like frozen improvisation, using that sort of analogy. You know,
that's interesting. Yeah, I wonder if he read the book by Ernst Toch called "The Shaping Forces of Music."
Okay, I'm not sure.
Where Ernst Toch talks about music as being a like that, like a architecture, and he used those exact phrases of liquid and frozen. And
well, that's interesting. You mentioned that because actually Gene Bertoncini did his undergraduate degree in architecture.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa.
So he was actually on path to become an architect before he, you know, did a 180 and became a jazz guitar player. So
this is getting deep, folks.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. But what else? How else do you see those two traits kind of informing one another for you? I mean, you do play obviously compositionally or improvise rather compositionally, but how do you see them informing each other?
Well, you know, just building a solo and using motifs is perhaps the most obvious way. But, you know, sometimes I play free, I guess what you call free jazz, and it's nice to build something compositionally when you're doing that, as opposed to, you know, just playing a lot of notes or however, you know, some people might approach it, and sometimes I approach it that way as well. But I prefer and I feel better about myself when I approach it from more of a compositional standpoint.
Yeah.
So, and then sometimes I have a trio with Jim Lewis, who's a great trumpet player, and Andrew Downing, and we've just been playing standards,
right?
But it sounds free,
right?
And I think all of us compose, and all of us bring that to the music. So even though it sounds free, it has a structure to it that I think is coming from composition,
right?
The other thing is, the three of us never talk about what we're going to do.
Right.
We've never rehearsed. We've never.
Right.
But this seems to happen. It's just my observation.
Yeah, I guess you get sort of kindred spirits or people that are all on a similar wavelength in terms of their way of thinking. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, this has been my pleasure, certainly, to talk to you today, David. And is there a website that if somebody wants to find out more about this recording or you in general or where you're playing, could they get in touch with you?
Yeah, of course. I do have a website. It's davidocchipinti.com. And Occhipinti is spelled Occhipinti.
Yeah. Painted and eyes?
Painted eyes. Thank you. Yeah. I should be interviewing you, by the way, a great guitarist, and next time we'll turn the tables.
Okay, sure. And anything upcoming, perhaps? I mean, I'm hoping that this will air this Friday, so kind of mid-March. Anything in April? Or
I do have a couple of trio gigs.
Yeah.
Of course, being the great businessman that I am, I don't know the dates, but you can find them on my website, davidocchipinti.com.
Yeah.
And I'm playing trio with great drummer Terry Clark,
right,
and Andrew Downing is on one of them, and Dan Fortin is on the other.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And on your website, can they also order a copy of Camera or through?
I wish they would.
Yeah. Or through, is it on iTunes?
It's on iTunes, and it's on my website. And anyway, it would be great. Yeah.
Terrific.
I certainly put a lot of work into this CD, so I'm hoping people will at least want to listen to it.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, I have no doubt. And as I mentioned, it's my pleasure to have you here this afternoon. And it's great to get to know you better and to talk about these things. So you had mentioned Gypsy Viola as our final track. Can you set that up?
Sure. This is a track that's from a suite called Metamorphos Suite. And it's for guitar and string quartet. And this is, I think, the third piece in for that suite. And I do a little bit of improvising in this one. I don't in all of them, but in this one I do. So it's called Gypsy Viola. ¶¶
There's that music again, which means we've come to the end of another episode of Arts Abled. It was my pleasure today to talk to David Acapinti. David is a wonderful guitar player, composer, musician, and a true artist in the full sense of the word. He's long been an inspiration for me, not only as a guitar player and a composer, but also as a person who continuously puts out very creative projects, really stands behind his music and his art, and is out there doing it in a very meaningful way. So he's an inspiration to certainly a lot of us here at Humber, myself included. So thank you for the great interview from David Acapinti. We heard a number of tracks from his 2012 recording, Camera, and as mentioned, look him up on the internet, davidacapinti.com. Best of luck to all of the Humber faculty members who have either a recording that they performed on, produced, or released themselves at the upcoming 2013 Juno Awards. Once again, I'd like to extend my thanks to Humber Radio 96.9 FM for giving me this forum and opportunity to present Arts Abled. If you, the listener, would like to hear someone at the School of Creative and Performing Arts interviewed, or if there's something that you'd like to see announced or further attention drawn towards, please drop me a note, andrew.scott@humber.ca. And as always, a big thanks to Steve Bellamy, the Associate Dean of the School of Creative and Performing Arts, for his support of this initiative. See you next week.